A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Thanks again to Jeremy Booth for joining us. You can check it out on the podcast, Apple, Spotify. We're going to put it up on the as a YouTube clip as well.
You can see him also on KHOU Channel 11 and the Extra Bases podcast with Jason Bristol. My guy.
That was good. I enjoyed that. I'm not going to lie. He's a large man.
Yeah, dude. He's huge.
Yeah.
Those tats?
When I had to admit to calling him a clown to his face, I was a little nervous there for a second.
Jeremy on the
not
Twitch.
Not going to lie.
Jeremy Branham on the Twitch asked me to touch his tats.
Yeah.
He did ask me to touch his tats. That is
you and Jeremy Booth know each other a little bit. I don't think that you have that dynamic in your relationship.
Well, so. You don't know that.
I mean, if you did, then you would have done it.
Yo, did you see us dab up each other?
That's true.
Oh, God, for real. I'm wearing this Chop House shirt. I got my new Houston Texans hat. I'm the coolest MF for here.
I'm wearing mine.
Y'all mean?
I like free stuff.
Just
so.
Straight up. For real, 100.
Is that going to be the social clip today that you're going to put up? Just straight up, for real, 100?
I don't know.
I think the social clip should be something Jeremy Booth related, but you could also do that.
Yeah, I'm the Riz King right here.
Sup? Speaking of the Texans.
I go to Trill Burgers.
Have you actually?
I'm banging swang.
I haven't been to Trill Burgers yet.
Mm.
Is it good?
No, I haven't been yet.
Oh, okay.
I was talking on the Twitch. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go there next. So I'm really pulling off the stolen H-Town Valor right now. Got this Chop House shirt on. There's purple drink on my shirt and stuff.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's still a Whataburger t-shirt.
Yeah. I would say before we drift into the Texans, I thought he had some very interesting things to say about Josh Hader. And I also thought he had some interesting things to say about the top of the lineup in terms of, a lot of people would like to see Yordan Alvarez bat more, right? That's why he gets moved up to second. You maximize the amount of at-bats that he has over the course of the year. But the way that he laid it out, Jose Altuve is a rather impatient hitter. And Yordan is at times rather impatient as well. So it is kind of interesting that your first two batters, their style with which they're there. Altuve is very often swinging at the first pitch, sometimes putting it in play on the first pitch. It is interesting from maybe Alvarez isn't getting the best approach. He's not getting the most time to figure out what a starting pitcher is going to be throwing from the on-deck circle or from the dugout either. Mm-hmm. Because, Altuve sometimes has a two-pitch at bat and then Yordan Alvarez is in the box. And it almost does make sense to go back to either, as he was suggesting, Jeremy Pena, maybe that, or to go back to Bregman in that spot where Bregman is just so damn patient and takes as many pitches as he does, which drives a lot of people crazy.
Yeah, we'll talk shows here for the segment. We'll get into the Texans the rest of the show after this. We got to do our unintentionally erotic big board at 2:30, so we'll do that today. And we're just going to talk about some other draft stuff in the next segment. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting. I will say, he kind of won me over. A little bit, thinking about it more, and I talked about this before we had him on. My initial reaction to what he said versus where we're at now, all that's really been done is the Astros lineup has validated that original stance, and it's hard to ignore, and that's why I'm surprised to hear Joe Espada say that they're not going to change the lineup. At first, they changed it a little bit with Jose Abreu, and then they brought in. Then they moved Bregman between Alvarez and Tucker. Well, it seems to have reverted back to that potential. We'll see what the next three games look like against the Cubs, but they're not making that big sweeping change. I also just thought it was very interesting that it's very clear that the people who should be calling the shots, at least from what Jeremy Booth knows, are not really the ones calling the shots, whether that's in this era or in the Dusty era. And that's one of the things that we've talked about really since that Reggie Jackson quote came out was, who's really in charge? Who's really the one? Does Joe Espada have the authority to do this if he wanted to? Or are these his ideas are kind of the questions that I have now?
How funny would it be if the people who are pushing either Dana Brown or Joe Espada to adapt these new very avant-garde baseball ideas if it's the old heads?
Who literally, like, get into text message arguments with reporters because they say that they don't know analytics because they were, quote, misquoted when they weren't Jeff Bagwell. Like, if Jeff Bagwell is the one pushing that, like, it'd be stunning. Like,
it would be really funny wild. If that's something that they decided this year that they wanted to push for more of. An approach that incorporates a little bit more data than in years past.
Yeah, and
this would be a rather basic way of doing it and seeing, well, everybody else is batting their best hitter second, so why don't we do this? It would be a little basic copycat.
It's just like the surface level of, like, I mean, it's like when people do like, say the analytics says this.
Yeah.
Just like, where it's just like, I don't know, analytics says bat your best player second, so let's do that. It's like, you would like a little bit more thought that goes into it. Maybe someone who actually has, like, the full analytical, dealing with the full, all the tools in the analytical tool chest can actually do that.
Yeah, it would be nice. I just don't feel like we're getting those things.
Well, we're not getting anything. No. And again, yeah, as I said, win three in a row, I'm going to be a jerk. A jerk, I said, to the Astros until they can win three in a row. And then...
So do you expect
them
to win?
Then I will let them off the couch. No, I don't. Yes. I'm expecting them to lose this series. I'm expecting them to lose in Mexico City.
No. Mexico... That's where Houston teams go to win. The Houston Texans won the Mexico City game, right?
I don't know.
With Brock Osweiler?
With the Raiders?
Yes.
Brock Osweiler was getting laser shined in
They
his
win that game?
Because
that the result of that 2016 Texans game will decide whether I think they win or lose in Mexico City.
The Raiders won that game 27-20. A lot of people believed that it was Brock Osweiler's best game, despite laser pointers being shined in his eyes.
I now looking back, I kind of remember that. I remember him playing well with the laser pointers in his eyes.
But the Texans got the better of the Raiders in the rematch, which was Brock Osweiler against Connor Cook, not Derek Carr. The Raiders were 8-2 in that game also, which is pretty interesting. I think that was the last time the Raiders were really, really good.
Like, really good. That was almost like the Carson Wentz year where Derek Carr was like the MVP, basically.
That is true. So that happened in Mexico City. To bring it to the Astros in Mexico City, this is something we haven't brought up. But did you guys see that story about how there was, like, a goalkeeper who had a laser pointer and he was injured? And there's a soccer game that was taking place between two Mexican soccer league teams. And this goalkeeper from the luxury box had a laser pointer and was shining it at the other team's goalie in the middle of the game. And he was found out to be doing that. And I don't know if he got some sort of punishment from the Mexican Soccer
League.
That's
crazy.
But Mexican sports fans love their laser pointers.
They also love to throw things on the field and yell slurs and get games canceled.
It's just tradition. Come on. It's tradition. How dare you speak on Latin culture like that?
That's, you know, just, you know, fact.
That's their culture. You're disrespecting their culture.
Yeah. I don't think that's
right. I don't know. So we can't be cool with what one culture does because another culture doesn't like it? Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm just asking the question.
I don't know.
You seem so uncomfortable right now.
He did get punished.
He did?
They said. That's what the text line says.
Is he in jail?
That's what Glenn Davis says.
Oh.
Apparently on Soccer Matters.
Glenn Davis texted in?
No. Someone said that. Someone like Glenn on Soccer Matters said it. It wouldn't shock me, though.
Glenn was listening. Kind of disappointed that Glenn's not listening.
So you don't think? So you think they're going to lose the series versus the Cubs?
Yes,
they're going
to
be.
I have no reason to have any optimism or confidence in them. They are.
I know.
Right now, confined to the couch. I am making my lady sleep on the couch. That's a faux pas in 2024.
Your cat, you mean?
That's my lady.
Unless something changes,
you're walking into the bedroom door and closing it behind behind you.
Oh, so no! I mean, last night, Arya got up on the bed.
You kicked her off?
No, I didn't kick her off. Like the one time I did. No, I picked her up and I, you know, get a little scratch behind the ears, and I said, "All right, sweetie, you're going outside." And then I closed the door.
Oh, okay. So it looks like you have some questions on here about Wrigley Field. What do you want to know? Is it worth it?
Yeah, is it actually a fun experience? Yes. We had a couple of listeners.
Those guys are awesome.
Ask you questions.
I suck at names, but they were awesome last week. Yeah, they're going there. They said they're going to every ballpark, or they're trying to watch the Astros play in every ballpark over a couple years, and they're making their trip to see see Wrigley, whatever they call the garbage White Sox stadium in Milwaukee.
Is it actually a good ballpark, Wrigley Field?
It's a mistake to go right now.
Why is it a mistake to go?
It's cold.
Gotcha.
Like, okay. These guys are going to be miserable.
Okay.
Like, I saw McTaggart tweet how cold it was.
So
it's going to be a brutal experience.
So summer is when you want to
go. You want to go in June, July. It's a great, great time.
What's the go-to dish at Wrigley Field? Is there a specific ballpark offering that the Cubs are known for that nobody else has?
They're like pretty basic. To me, like if you go to Wrigley, you should sit in the bleachers. You have to get there early because there's no assigned seats. So you have to go with friends.
There's assigned seats?
First come, first serve for the bleachers.
It's like a student section?
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
There's a family section in right field that has seats, but everything else is first come, first serve.
Huh.
So like you kind of have to go with the group because that way like really only one or two of you is leaving at a time just because someone might take
you
a seat.
You can hold it down.
You leave to go get concessions and your seat might be gone.
Yeah. So I think
that's kind of annoying.
Yeah. And then
barbaric, I would even say.
Like the bratwurst is the best thing they do.
Okay.
And they have like the best vendors are in the outfield too.
Okay.
That's it's like sitting on metal bleachers in the summer, doing the beer snake, like is the best.
I'd rather not have metal bleachers.
Do they do the wave?
Because
that's something Astros fans should know ahead of time.
Are we
allowed to do the wave or not?
No. Todd Callis says you can't.
They probably do.
Todd Callis knows ball, and he believes you are a fool if you do the wave.
Like Joe was trying to snuff out any Latin American tradition and culture.
That's true.
Earlier in this segment,
snuffing it out.
I just want to know if Chicago's going to snuff out Houston culture of doing the wave
During the wave when you're winning a baseball game when you shouldn't be. I hope they do.
Okay.
I hope they stop that.
I will say about the old ballparks, and I say this a lot. So I've been to Fenway Park enough growing up in Massachusetts to be at the point where I don't enjoy Fenway Park. I think the toilets are disgusting. I think the seats are too small. I think there's way too many pillars.
They're not toilets.
Yeah, it's a trowel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Fenway. Troughs, yeah. Fenway is the same thing. You can smell it. You can smell it from from very far away.
It's wild.
It's not comfy. The area outside the stadium is nice. The actual inside of the stadium that's not on top of the Green Monster, to me, is a dump. I don't like Fenway Park. I think it's a fun place to watch games on TV in because it's a cool-looking park, but I'm at the point now where I think the old ballparks, like, oh, cool, they're old, they're great, but I better not be paying top dollar to go into these old boxes of tinder.
Yeah, I think it's a great experience. Personally, I'm obviously very biased. You do have to, like, if you're ever going to go, please, like, use the image view when you buy your tickets, though, because there are literal seats that are blocked by metal poles in certain sections.
Yeah, Fenway's got that, too.
So, like, I've seen friends who are like, dude, you didn't tell me this was a possibility. I'm like, well, there's, like, 15 seats in the whole stadium that this, like, really happens to, but, like, look ahead of time. So that one, I mean, personally, the best part's like the area around it. The bar scene's incredible.
Oh,
I was telling those guys about my favorite bar is Sluggers because they have a batting cage upstairs. So you just get drunk and then you go to the batting cage. It's a great time.
That sounds fun.
It's a good, good time. Yeah. Oh, what other stadiums do you want to go to? What's on like your list?
Yeah, I'm kind of over it.
My parents told me about Camden Yards. I really want to do that with the Orioles.
The Padres Stadium.
That looks really
cool. But it's because it's in San Diego.
Yeah. I kind of want to see a home run hit into the water.
In San Francisco? Well,
that would be cool.
Good luck. You're going to get killed by homeless people on your way to the stadium.
That's why I would never go.
Yeah.
It looks like a dump and a half.
It's a shame. San Francisco, there are, just like with Seattle, there are some very beautiful spots, but it has become just so overpopulated with very emboldened homeless people these days. And I'm not trying to dehumanize. I'm just saying it's not a fun experience in the city. San Diego is where I would want to go. Milwaukee would be pretty interesting as well.
Really?
Yeah. I like Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee's an underrated city.
No, I was asking about the ballpark.
I mean,
ballpark looks nice. Apparently it's a Minute Maid clone.
Yeah, it's a Minute Maid clone.
Ah.
Yeah, like the only difference is like it's more kid-friendly, I would say. if that matters to you.
Just because it has a slide?
They have rock walls.
Oh, okay.
Like they have like a play area in like behind right field.
My kids should be there to watch the game with a pin and the pad.
That's why I like. I'm going to take
– scoring it.
When it's time to take Joseph's first baseball game, we're definitely going to do Sugarland first because they have the play area. So it's like if he doesn't want to watch the game, then one day you'll learn, Sean, maybe. But I was like ready to take Joseph to his first baseball game this year. No shot.
No?
No chance.
Why not?
He's not ready. He won't sit down. He won't sit still.
He's not ready for a bad baseball team.
Oh, yeah. A child born
he's spoiled
in the 2020s is going to ever be ready to watch a baseball game? Yeah. Yeah. Good luck.
It's true.
Good luck.
They're going to have to make him an hour and a half.
Yeah. To get the kids are
going to put one in the middle of an episode of
Bluey.
Yeah,
he'll watch football with me.
Paw Patrol.
Mm. I haven't tried baseball yet with him on the big TV. Find out.
A couple other stadiums that were suggested. PNC's the Pirates.
I've heard it's the best stadium in baseball.
We saw some pictures from those two who were going on the round trip and seeing all these awesome baseball stadiums across the country. You know, a lot of people are going to hate on me for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Texas.
No.
I like the old ballpark.
No, you're going to hate on me for this.
Got to go to Arlington.
People don't understand how awesome this park is. They don't get it.
Seattle?
No. Seattle's a great ballpark.
Oh, though. The Trop.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of places
those,
you live.
Those catwalks. Oh, my God.
I thought about bringing up the Trop, ironically.
All the food concessions, like, regularly fail inspection.
Stop.
It's amazing how bad it is.
I didn't even know they did health inspections at ballpark. I guess that makes sense.
They failed all the. And I mean, when I was in high school, that was when they were the Devil Rays, and they were just such dog. Like, but you could go for $10, like, yeah, right? Yeah. Like you could all, and they would be good seats for $10. There's a special place in my heart for the Trop, but it is an absolute dump.
I think the cheapest I ever paid for a ticket to a game was like $8. I remember going to see I saw the Bulls and the Magic play on the night that Obama got reelected.
Oh, that's fun.
Because it was like everyone like in Chicago, like the party was there in Chicago. And I was like, we were like, dude, let's go to the Bulls game. Yeah. It's $8.
Yeah.
There you go.
Dwight Howard?
Like, I was like,
or did Dwight he just Howard, get traded?
He might have been just traded.
I think you just my got
guess
traded.
My guess is Derrick Rose was hurt at the time, too.
Nick so like, Vucevic.
That
yeah.
probably also helped it only being $8.
We had different experiences that day. I had a job tryout with a morning show in Boston on WEEI, and the two morning show hosts were right-leaning, and here I am, like 23, 24, like thinking I'm finally going to go to Boston and break in. And my original like tryout with them got delayed because of Hurricane Sandy.
Okay.
So then I have a tryout with them, and it's the day after Obama got reelected. And these guys looked like they wanted to kill someone. And they had been told that they weren't allowed to talk about it. And I had grown up listening to these guys, so I figured, okay, I'm just going to say a couple of funny things. And I was just like, hey, guys, it's a great – like the first time they welcomed me on, I was like, it's a great day to be alive, huh? You know?
Did it go over well?
They were so angry. It ruined it from the get-go.
Yeah, that seems like a bad idea, Paul.
I thought that they would actually have, you know,
like play along a little
play
bit.
Along a little bit. And, yeah, they didn't. They were acting like the world ended.
All right, what would surprise you the most about a Texans during the Texans draft this year? And I know it's one of it's not one of Paul's favorite nights, but I'm curious for the other people as well. What frustrates you the most about the NFL draft? That's next on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul and Joe.
Paul, what would surprise you the most Texans to do in the if the Texans do something in the draft, what would surprise you the most?
Trade CJ Stroud to the Tennessee Titans.
Smart ass.
For a 7th round pick.
I mean, he wasn't in the jersey photos.
Fact, he's gone.
So it's on the table.
As Robert Ford would say, see you later.
See you later.
See you later. Sorry, Robert. the one thing that surprised me the most, just because I've seen it, I saw Jonathan Alexander. He put out this article. It was like five trades for the Houston Texans to do during the draft. I saw another one insinuating this as well. Watching the Texans trade back into the first round would shock me. Like, to gain extra draft capital and make the trade as early as they did, to then on draft night change your mind and go back into the first round, would surprise me. I don't know if it's unorganized or maybe just the board looks so different than Nick Caserio thought it was going to. You know, for example, Adam Schefter, Daniel Jeremiah, Todd McShay, all of a sudden are talking about how Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas, might be the first defensive player taken in the draft, and he might be going in the top 10. And like, that's so different than all what the mock drafts have said this whole time. So I don't know, like, maybe it does look so different, and like Jonathan Newton from Illinois is who they really wanted. It would shock me if they actually traded back into the first round. It'd be unexpected.
How shocked?
Scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah.
7.
7?
I mean, why'd you trade the pick?
I feel like 7, 8, 9. I mean, for shock. I mean, we're talking like something horrible's happened.
Okay. 4. So the Will Anderson, trading up for Will Anderson, is a 10?
Yeah, but there's a level, like, you can be shocked and not be, you're just like, I don't understand.
Okay.
Not upset. Not like, why the hell, Nick Caserio, you know what, fire Nick Caserio.
No.
Would you be excited if he traded up?
I mean, probably.
Depends for who.
It depends for who.
Is it for Michael Penix, and then they're trading C.J. Stroud for a 7th-round pick?
To Tennessee.
Well, then why aren't you just getting Will Levis back? We can reunite Jeremy and Will.
No.
We can have Will Levis in the studio, Levis. And they can eat bananas with peels together.
And coffee with mayonnaise.
And coffee with mayonnaise. That's and then Joel, they both and then enjoy Joel that, can right? introduce Will to putting ketchup on his steak.
I like it.
And then, like, we'll solve all the world problems.
That's cool.
Solve world hunger.
They'll solve world hunger.
So Joe's gone from being from a 7 to a 4.
I'll say 4. That's 4, sir.
I don't think I'd be shocked. I don't really know how to read the way that the Houston Texans operate in the draft. I was shocked when they traded up to number 3 last year.
Yeah.
You know, that was shock. Like, what?
I mean, what was that scale, 1 to 10?
That's a 10.
A 10? No. It was like a 2. We can't act like trading.
What are you talking about?
Trading up in the draft, like
they
one
had back
through 10. You're talking
back
about a scale picks. Of shock. Like that 10 is like we got.
Wait,
like,
are you talking about where like 9/11 would be 10?
Yeah.
Like,
no, we're talking about sports.
We're talking about just watching the draft.
How often are you shocked watching sports?
That shocked me. That was stunning to me when they did that.
I'm sorry. I'm a normal human being. Like. I'm not going to be talking about the NFL draft. Oh, I was shocked. It was the most shocking thing ever. Oh, wow.
Then I don't even know like what a 10 would be for you.
10 would be...
waking up on September 11th, 2001.
No,
that was a 10.
That's an 8. 10 is the... 9 would be alien invasion. 10 is the world's about to end. That would be shock. That's a little more shocking.
And then 7 would be trading up for
7 would
Johnny
be
Newton.
Tom Brady on retiring to co-play for the New England Patriots one more time. I'm being sarcastic on that front, but look, like, yeah, if they trade up or trade back,
you would just be miserable. Or it would be miserable working with you if you if
no
Tom
one,
Brady
because he won't be good, and then I'll be like, ah, well, you know,
he's still good.
I mean, but Tom's got to come back, man. He's got to teach these kids the right way to play football.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The game has changed in the 15 months that he's been gone.
If you don't know what we're referring to, Tom Brady was doing an interview, a podcast in which he was getting his hair cut, which I love that the new trend of this.
Is it the shop with
I don't
LeBron
think,
James?
No,
because they'll sue you.
He stole the idea from LeBron.
I don't think it was the shop.
Remember Nick Saban had a show? Yeah. It was the same thing, and LeBron sued him and stopped him from doing
crazy.
It.
Crazy. But Tom Brady said the biggest problem with a lot of bleeping kids these days is it's all about them. It's all about their brand, their social media. The point of life is to help others. This was in response to – he was going off about young players who prioritize themselves over the team. Which is interesting because it's
Tom
not
Brady
like,
doesn't have a brand.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Tom Brady has a brand and would bring his own personal trainer in and then not let anyone else use him. And he would only do what his personal trainer would say, not what the team would want him to
Alex
do.
Alex Guerrero was basically his Peter, and Peter's
decided, you know what, I'm going to create a brand that Tom Brady has kind of distanced himself from of late.
Yeah, of late.
Well, Alex Guerrero also was – some of his treatments helped cure cancer, right?
That's what I heard.
That's what he claimed. And I think he had to backpedal.
Hey, Sean, if I had the big C and
– you would go on the TV12
method. Well, listen, I don't know that my insurance is going to cover everything. So I might – as a cheap man –
I think that's how Steve Jobs
died. I might cut some corners and go the TV12 method on that front. It's a little holistic lifestyle.
Yeah.
Berries or whatever.
Probably going to end up croaking on that front.
So because of your love for Tom Brady, like, did you try avocado ice cream?
No, I haven't tried that yet. No.
Oh, okay.
No, I wouldn't do that. No, the no tomatoes thing is a step too far. Oh, it's inflammatory. F off, dude. No.
Yeah, I don't really
understand. I love you, but no. I'm not going to stop eating tomatoes. I love tomatoes.
I don't like
them. So you do anything for your God except
for tomatoes.
I have.
You're no Abraham.
You're not a real follower.
No, I'm not. I'm not a real follower. I'm going to create my own cult that's loosely based off of Tom Brady's teachings, and then.
So you're
so many questions.
You're the David Koresh of the TV12 method.
Yeah.
So what are you? So
watch out, FBI.
So if you're not banning tomatoes, what are you going to ban from people's lives?
Chocolate,
cheese.
No. If you like it, you like
your
it.
Your cult's gonna suck. Why? No one's gonna want to be in that.
No, we're inclusive.
No chocolate, no cheese.
No, you just have to be hot. You know, that's the whole point.
Don't you age?
You can
out
only
of that?
Get into my cult if you're hot.
What happens when you age out of it? Do you get kicked out of your own cult?
Well, no.
There's a ceremony where you like the
there's
like,
a ceremony
like the wicker
right.
man. That's when you die. Like the wicker man.
Yeah.
Anything else about your cult?
Would that be shocking to you?
Are you going to have purple drink at this cult?
I still haven't tried it. My guy's going to hook me up, though. We got a listener. He said he's going to hook me up someday.
What would Paul starting a cult, where would that be on a scale of 1 to 10? How much would
Shocking would that be?
Like attempting to do it?
Yeah.
Or doing it successfully?
Actually successfully.
Early days of the cult, though. So like 25 to 50 followers.
Like a 2?
Which scale is this? Is this the scale where, you know what, where Will Anderson was a 10?
I'll put it this way. Let me rephrase. It'll be a 2 if he starts it. It'll be like a 10 if he gets people to join it.
Wow.
Ouch.
Damn, dude, that hurt my feelings a little bit.
Because Paul said it's only hot people. So you're going to have...
Yeah, so you're gonna be, what, you're saying if I invite hot people in, they're not going to join me?
You're going to be too exclusive, I think would be my concern.
No. I know exactly what you meant. You don't think the hot people are going to follow me.
Would you try to convert people?
Yeah. Would you tell them, like, if you had, like, X amount of plastic surgery, you could then...
We're not doing plastic surgery.
I was going to say here. Uggos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not helping people that are beyond saving.
Would you give them like a chance to like lose a bunch of weight to eventually get in?
If you're a fatty boom batty.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, so
we're leaving you behind.
So
on
no
a great
mission
journey.
So no missionary work.
Nah, not happening.
Okay. None?
No.
All right, we're gonna take a break. let's build our big board. Let's look at the offensive line. That's next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You know Lance Zierlein for his mock drafts.
This is where the problems start in my hometown. I pass on CJ Stroud.
But have you ever read his scouting reports?
Look at the body. Look at that bubble butt. That power generator's right there.
We're going to pick who the Texans should draft entirely based on these things he actually wrote.
A little stiff in the hip. Ooh, they fall down hard and long.
And now, our unintentionally erotic big board.
Just a reminder that on Thursday night, we will have ESPN Radio's coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft, the entire first round, all 32 selections, beginning right at 6 o'clock after the Killer Bees first pick in the draft, probably be around like 7:15. And then on Friday night, Paul, myself, Dell will be here in studio doing a special Friday night draft show from 6 to 9, which of course will stream on YouTube, on Twitch as well. But let's continue to build out our big board. We've gone through cornerback, safety, interior defensive line, running back.
Yep.
And now we're looking at interior offensive line.
Interior offensive line. So there's a chance they don't address this at all. Mm-hmm. Based off of the way Nick Caserio talked about Kenyon Green, it does feel like they want to give him one more opportunity to be a starter. Whether that's at center or left guard. Same thing with Juice Scruggs, center or left guard. We'll see. But say they do decide to take a look at the interior offensive line, I'm going to read actual things that Lance Zierlein wrote for NFL.com, some of his write-ups for these draft prospects. They're rather erotic sounding, and you have to determine whether or not to smash or pass on them. Joe George and Sean Mapes. Here is prospect number one. Reviewing tape is a pleasurable experience.
Okay.
Well,
strong start.
Explosive drive with the body control. Leg drive to keep opponents centered. Patient but firm. Exploding. Fits and finishes with excellent body control. Arcs back.
Oh.
And unlocks lowers. The one drawback, lack of length, will create occasional challenges.
Okay.
I mean, I like everything I heard up to the last part.
I don't know how we pass on a guy that's such a pleasurable viewing experience for Lance Zierlein. Like, I'm going to trust Lance's eyes. And look, he's up here in his PJs on a Saturday.
Even arcs
breaking
the back.
Down game tape.
Yeah.
He's out in L.A. now doing his fancy NFL draft work.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he does. He grinds. And if he has a pleasurable experience watching you, I just don't know how we ignore you. So
yeah,
smash.
I haven't heard anyone else be described as a pleasurable experience. So,
I mean, it's smash. Easy.
That is Duke center Graham Barton.
Okay.
All right.
Strong start.
Next prospect. We're going to smash on Graham Barton. Excellent feel for extension. A stiff punch extended. Inconsistent body control could be an issue. It fades when facing athletic rushers.
This seems pretty easy to pass.
Yeah, don't love it.
I mean, inconsistent, fading.
I'm going to pass, too.
You got to be good from start to finish. That's what we're really looking for here.
Yeah. Keyword finish.
I mean,
60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you can't do that.
He does keep that stiff punch extended.
Yeah. It's like if you,
but it's inconsistent.
Yeah, I need a little bit more.
I need more than that. I'm going to pass.
That is a Dominic Puny, guard from Kansas. All right, how about this one? Thick hips.
Okay.
Adequate length.
Good start.
Can be stood up and neutralized by two gap pluggers. These two gappers can punch and separate. I'm passing.
Yeah, I'm going to pass. It sounds okay, but it just doesn't get me.
Doesn't get you hot and bothered?
Doesn't get the juices flowing.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like it was a pleasurable watch. Yeah, I'm on the fence. If you're both passing, I'll pass.
Yeah, I feel like that first one really set up a bad standard here, but we'll have to make it work.
Hey.
Lance loves Graham Barton.
Yeah,
Lance loves watching offensive linemen.
Yeah, this is probably his favorite one to do.
So that one was Zach Zinter, guard, Michigan. All right, prospect four. Below average length, but above average upper body power.
Okay.
Not a knee bender. Can torque and toss opponents around.
I like the torque and toss.
Okay.
Salty disposition. Carries broad chest, thick hips, and meaty hands.
All right, man. Smash.
Easy.
Heavy hands.
You're gonna
hammer gaps.
What are we doing here? This is easy.
Yeah. Rugged. A disdainful attitude.
I hope this guy likes H-Town
Dude,
Blue.
I don't know who liked this more. You writing this?
I love
Lance
reading
or
that.
You, because that was the longest one you've read so far.
Listen, there's a lot of things, but he is, remember, below average in length.
That's
while
all
we
right.
talk about length.
Well, you talk about the rest of
but
it.
But I'm in.
Yeah.
It sounds like the motion is ocean's pretty good.
Yeah, we're good here.
That is Jackson Powers Johnson, a center from Oregon.
Okay, that's another good pick.
We got two more prospects.
Powers Johnson, a good unintentionally erotic name.
Powers Johnson, cool. Right. Short arms, but strong hands. Good size. He's got powerful grip strength.
Ooh.
Need that.
It brings the opponents tight.
locks them into place. A little straight knee getting into contact with some lower body tightness. And the loss is often stemmed from inconsistent body control. But, I mean, who hasn't had that problem?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a normal, everyday problem.
Yeah, it sounds like something you can work with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some exercises.
The cons aren't like so glaring cons. I'm going to smash.
Yeah, I think we need some more prospects on our big board. So maybe out of desperation here a little bit, like we're gonna keep this guy on our
list. Damn. Okay, well, this guy's got even more names. His name is Cedric Van Pran Granger.
Okay.
Those are four different names.
Let me tell you something. I know a lot about the draft, I feel like. Don't have a clue who that guy is.
I don't either.
Where's he from?
Georgia.
Oh, it's Georgia. That's definitely a Nick Caserio guy. We made the right decision.
Last prospect. Bulldozer in cleats. Jolts smaller players. A little problematic here. Moves big ones against their will.
Okay.
Girth. Drive blocking talent should make him a longtime starter. Burly, broad frame. With an impressive level of density. Power merchant. Again, drives defenders against their will. Wide and stout. Can be slow getting out when asked to pull.
Let me tell you, sometimes it works against you.
That last one can be a problem.
Yeah, to say the least. Not a kid. I would say what?
Nothing. I'm a professional.
It can be a problem. That's all I'm saying.
I'm gonna take the good with the bad here, and I'm gonna smash.
Okay.
I'll agree.
I'll smash as well. That's Cooper Beebe, not related to Don Beebe or that other guy in the NFL.
It's also BB.
Whatever. It's pronounced Beeb. Should be.
Yeah.
It's not two E's at the end.
I think it's BB at least.
You're right, though.
No, I'm second guessing. No,
I mean, I know
the pronunciation is correct. It shouldn't be correct.
All right. So where are we at now? We got like at least 10 players, right? 12?
Yeah, we have, I think, about 14 right now.
Okay.
Now, so what did we decide was going to be our last one?
We talked about tight end. We talked about linebacker, but you don't seem to want to draft the linebacker. So we can go tight end, linebacker.
We're getting to the bottom of the big board here in a little bit. So I feel like let's go tight end tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
You know what? We're going to be in a public place tomorrow.
Yeah, we are.
And Thursday. So we'll do tight end tomorrow.
This is a highway cantina.
Yeah,
that's true.
How
originated?
Are you embarrassed by me, Joe?
Never.
Are you embarrassed of me talking about all these?
Yeah, where's this remote going to be? Like a church?
LeBert, like, or a sports book?
Oh, that, who cares?
Yeah, you think the people at the sports book are gonna have a hard time talking about me speaking about girthy arms and the pullability of certain players?
Yeah, some players being slow to pull out.
Some are and some aren't.
I think we'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We'll be at Le Berge tomorrow doing our show from there, the three of us. And then on Thursday, we will be at Spanish Flower, us and the Killer Bees. So that's kind of our schedule for the rest of the week. And like I said, draft show Friday night. So we'll do 12 to 3, and then we'll be back for 6 to 9 as well. All right. That does it for this segment. We will come back and do garbage time to wrap up the show as always.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. True Western tradition, baby. You know what I'm going to do? When I get out to Louisiana tonight, as soon as that drive is done, I'm going to go to the bar. I'm going to ask them, hey, can you help me satisfy my inner cowboy? Can you give me a glass of Pendleton Whiskey? Two rocks, one finger. That would be wonderful. Check that. I did that wrong. Two fingers, one rock. Hey, listen, guys, I'm just thinking about that Pendleton whiskey at the end of the drive. Barrel-aged in American oak, made with the finest northern grains, cut with Mount Hood glacier water. I think it goes really well with a variety of different cocktails. You can mix it with coffee. I do like doing that, but, man, try that Rodeo Mule, Rodeo Mary.
can blend Pendleton whiskey in with all sorts of awesome drinks for some amazing cocktails. Check out all that you can do with them at pendletonwhiskey.com. If you're looking to satisfy your inner cowboy, Pendleton Whiskey is available wherever you get your liquor or at drizzly.com. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks again to Jeremy Booth for joining us here in studio. We will have that up on the YouTube channel shortly. Thanks to the Houston Texans for bringing some new hats by. Very nice. Very much appreciated.
H-Town made, dog.
Just to really make my life stressful, I'm just going to leave them, the two that are left in the box, and see what happens.
I am Westheimer Avenue.
Paul and I are getting them. Sean doesn't want one. Road. Happy birthday. Sorry about your dog.
Thank you.
In 2016. What a show it's been today. What a show.
Yeah, Jeremy Booth was somewhere in the middle of that.
Yeah. Had a very awkward fun conversation at the beginning.
How is it awkward?
I thought it was a good conversation.
Yeah.
I thought you handled yourself well.
He just kept looking at me.
Yeah, well, you know.
Looking at me, too. Yeah.
I think he thought I was going to, like, address it as soon as we walked in the room, too.
Address what?
Like, that I called him a clown.
Well.
I was like, I'm going to save this. I'm not going to apologize or even address it.
You should have called him a clown again.
Yeah.
So I really just
even though you agree with everything he says now.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's harder because he's... What, a foot taller?
At least.
He said he's actually a foot.
I think it's like a full.
He said he was 6'5".
6'5".
11 inches, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, harder to disagree.
I definitely feel, having seen Jeremy Booth in here, I definitely feel like I'm 6 feet tall, too.
That's not how it works.
That's how it works. That's how it works. I feel a lot taller having seen Jeremy in person.
That's fair.
Obviously, he's 6'5", and my handshake was so sick that I'm definitely, like, from a confidence perspective, in the 6 feet plus.
Okay.
Crowd. Look at my hat. I'm so cool right now.
Is that what your new LinkedIn profile is going to say if you start dating on there? Is I feel 6 feet plus.
Confidence of a 6'2 man.
I'm going to write like one of those deep quotes that the LinkedIn types do. Like, I was walking down the street the other day. I remember that one time I had been measured at plus 6 feet tall in college. So I decided I'm going to go to the DMV today and I'm going to change what it says on my license. No, I'm not going to change my address. No, I'm not going to change my ability to drive. What I'm going to change is I'm going to change the height from 5'11 to 6 feet tall. And then I did it.
Did you really?
And I got a ton of likes on LinkedIn for it. Nice. No, I mean, I just straight away. My license has always said I'm 6 feet tall.
Gotcha.
But yeah. I am not 6 feet tall.
Let's get to garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I think we will save Jameis Winston for tomorrow. But speaking of Florida State, who lost the last game that they played this past season, 63-3, made 13-0 rings with the word unconquered
so lame
written on them.
Losers.
That's probably what the Aztecs wrote about all the Native American tribes.
Because they also lost in the end?
Well, I mean, they won, and then, here comes Hernando Cortez!
Yeah, Florida State was 13-0. And they played a bowl game and lost, but they were 13-0.
The Aztecs were undefeated, and then they ran into the smallpox. Hernando Cortez.
My favorite part about Florida State doing this is it almost like validates the College Football Playoff Committee, because you're saying that when we didn't have Jordan Travis, it didn't matter.
Yeah,
like that's exactly what the College Football Playoff Committee is saying.
I don't think that game would have been respectable with the help of Jordan Travis.
I don't either.
I mean, Georgia had nothing to play for in that game, and they smoked you.
Yeah.
I think, they would have lost by like 28 instead of 60.
Exactly. They would have 100% covered the spread. NBC is going to place heart rate monitors on parents of athletes competing in the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris, with results being shown live on screen. is this going to get you to watch the Olympics?
I kind of do.
You're going to watch it because of this?
No, not because of this. But I'll watch.
I am not going to watch the Olympics.
Depends on the event. Like, I don't watch all of it. Even though, like, the games aren't competitive, I'll watch basketball. I'll watch Jimmer Fredette.
The games shouldn't be competitive.
Yeah.
They are competitive, then it's a problem.
Yeah, I'll watch, like, the Jimmer Fredette 3-on-3 basketball.
You'll watch the basketball thing?
I'll watch...
I might watch gymnastics because I stand with women.
Yeah.
Swimming.
Shout out to LSU. Yeah. Just won a national championship.
Oh, there's no Michael Phelps anymore.
I like track and field more than swimming.
Shout out to LSU. You're right. But the only track and field ones that are fun to watch are generally the sprints, right?
Yes. Or the end of the long races.
Yeah, it's sprints in the, like, you know, 400 to 800 range. When they're like 1600, it's like, all right.
Is there more that, like, you're interested in and, like, could be interested in the summer or the winter Olympics?
Summer. I'm summer over winter.
Summer over winter.
Yeah. None of the winter stuff, really.
Hockey is the only one.
It all kind of looks the same, honestly.
Figure skating's pretty sick.
Apollo Ono? Remember him?
Yeah, we're just going to name old Olympians.
Really fast guy.
Michael Phelps? Remember him?
Yeah,
swimming doesn't... Maybe it'll be more competitive now. Mm-hmm. But, like, now that Michael... It's kind of like Tiger Woods. Now that Michael Phelps isn't there, it's kind of... Eh.
I'm sure there's going to be some guy that NBC is going to build up to be like, you know, this guy hasn't lost since 2019 or something.
Right, yeah.
You're like, all right, sure.
A woman's Reddit thread went viral. The title, "My Husband Kept Cheating on Me to Beat My Body Count." It's an interesting story. We're going to spare you the story. Have you ever been asked? I'm not going to ask it for you guys. Have you ever been asked your body count?
Yeah.
By a significant other?
Yeah.
Okay. I have been asked that once too. And I gave this person, like, first date.
I don't know how to answer it. It's an impossible question.
I gave her the actual number and she was horrified.
It's so low?
Sure.
Was it Florida State versus Georgia?
It was Florida State versus Georgia. It was, well, maybe it was Georgia versus Florida State. I don't know. She asked, and I was like, I just gave her the number. I don't even know what the number is now.
I just don't even know why people ask men or women. Because
you don't want to know the answer.
Most of the time, exactly. You don't want to know.
You don't want to know. Yeah, it's like you're
better not to.
You're just a jealous person, probably, if you're asking that. Yeah, I don't care. I truly don't care about anybody else's number, but yeah, it's a weird thing. So that's an interesting Reddit thread. Check it out. It is long. That guy sucks.
Did you guys know?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
He really sucks. It's something else.
Hey, did you ever Sam McGuffey?
Yeah.
Did you know that he was, shout out to the Twitch for telling us this, he was on the Team USA Olympic bobsled team in 2018?
I mean, USA, we have a bobsled team.
Great
Sam McGuffey on the back. John Candy on the front.
That movie.
Feel the rhythm. Feel the ride. Feel the rhythm. It's a guy from Rice Time.
Dude, what are we doing here?
I want to know who the call screener is. I think the Killer Bee should lead off taking that
call. All right, coming up next, George wants to talk about the Trump trial. Jeremy Branham and Brian McDonald. That'll be next on here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're back tomorrow at noon. Goodbye.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.